Welcome to Lawmen, a podcast about local legends and obscure curiosities from days of yore. I'm Alastair Beckett King.
And I'm James Shankshaft.
And in this episode, we, the Lawmen, are joined by a deputy lawperson.
There's a lot of deputisation flying around, what with the old coronavirus lockdown of 2020.
We printed up some deputy lawman badges. We stamped them out of the old machine.
Yeah. 3D printed them and then sent them in the post.
And for this episode, we deputised the musical comedian Harriet Brain, who's going to tell us all about the Goat Boy of Surbiton. James, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm very well. Calling you from my nuclear bunker.
Excellent. They laughed at you when you rented a nuclear bunker, didn't they? Even the landlords.
they did. I would like to introduce to you, James, a deputy lawperson for yet another lockdown episode of Lawmen. Are you ready?
Yeah.
It is Harriet Brain, the musical comedian and expert on art history. Harriet Brain, hello.
Hello.
Hello, Harriet.
Hi, James. And Alistair.
Is that correct? Art history?
It's what I studied at uni. But yeah, I would say I'm an expert, yep.
Wow.
Wrote a comedy show about it.
That's the thing, because most comedians are privately educated people who read philosophy or French literature at Cambridge and then do comedy shows exclusively about willies.
Yeah.
What you've done is you've done shows about the thing you know about.
Expert is debatable, but I do like to use what I've learnt. Otherwise, what a waste.
Yeah. Am I right in thinking, Harriet, that you're from Surbiton?
I am.
Do you know Surbiton, James?
I've been to Surbiton.
To the train station.
You know what? Love the train station.
It's the beautiful train station, isn't it?
It is the beautiful train station.
It's in Harry Potter, it's so beautiful.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And Poirot.
Ooh.
Is it in Poirot too?
It was in a Poirot.
Cool.
I did a little look on Wikipedia today.
Uh-huh.
If it's in one Poirot, it's probably in many Poirots, because Poirot has solved murders in the same house about 6 times. He just keeps coming back to different angles of the same Art Deco house. It's like, why do people keep moving back in there?
Is he some sort of scammer, Poirot?
I think it's a classic midsummer murder situation where just bad luck follows him around.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
He's just cursed.
Yeah, because obviously Bergeron, yes, lived on Guernsey, Jersey.
Are they different islands?
Yes, they are.
Or just the same word said differently?
Guernsey and Jersey. Guernsey and Jersey.
They were his sidekicks, weren't they? They were Bergerac's assistants.
It's like Gif and Jif.
Surbiton, mm-hmm. I know Surbiton from the sitcom The Good Life.
I know it from Stella Street, because I'm edgy and hip.
Ooh.
From where?
Do you remember Stella Street?
No.
Oh, you must be 5 to 10 years younger than me and James.
Oh, is it set in Surbiton?
A street in Surbiton where loads of celebrities live.
Oh, wow, I need to get on that.
But I suspect that Stella Street, like The Good Life, chose Surbiton deliberately because it was sort of famously anonymous and bland and generic.
The name does make it sound like a suburban town, like that's what the etymology is.
It sounds like you've just rushed while saying suburban town, and it's just elided into Surbiton.
My favourite thing I learned about Surbiton today is the original name.
What's that?
Kingston upon Railway.
Mm-hmm. It's like a child named it.
Because it was part of Kingston, and this was during the Industrial Revolution, and it was built by the railway, and it was so novel that they called it Kingston upon Railway.
Yeah.
You can tell from that name that the railway was a new idea at the time.
Yeah.
Kingston itself is to the north of Surbiton, and they didn't want a railway coming through it because they had like a really bustling like coach industry. So they were like shunning the railway and put it south of Kingston, and what became Surbiton is the station.
Wow.
So that's why they called it Kingston upon Railway. But yeah, Surbiton's only been a town for like 150 years, like not very long.
That's nothing. Mm. That's peanuts.
Maybe a bit longer than that, but...
So, Harriet, you come from what we've established to be the extremely dull and characterless town of Surbiton.
Indeed.
With its quite nice train station.
Yeah.
What folkloric story have you brought us?
Well, because of such hits as The Good Life and the other one that you mentioned that I've already forgotten the name of, Stella Street, a lot of people don't think it actually exists as a real place. They just think it's a fictional place. But it does... it does exist. And basically, the folklore has sprung up very recently about the town and its surroundings, mostly written by one man or a group of people who have sort of taken it upon themselves to be the lawmen of Surbiton, in a way.
What?
Oh, do we have a potential rivalry situation going on here?
I think you might.
Ooh, a beef.
They're a group of people who call themselves the Seething Villagers, and Seething Wells is like a very small site where like a water treatment site was set up in the Industrial Revolution, another thing that put Surbiton on the map. And it provided like clean water. But Seething Wells is a campus, I think, of Kingston University now. And this group of people, who I know a few of them, and they're like proper eccentric, cool people, they did like a few archaeological digs and they found like some strange sort of things and sort of built up this folklore around it. It's a really, really good story. And there's this like little goat boy who is found as a baby in a cave. And this all happened in the days of yore.
Oh, yeah.
Which I'm sure you're all familiar with.
Yeah.
In the village of Seething, which is basically Surbiton.
I can't believe you have a goat boy, but you opened with the train station.
But it's in
Harry
Potter. I
really think you need to get over the train station in Surbiton.
It's where the Dursleys live.
Open the pitch. The elevator pitch is goat boy, I think.
The goat boy was a cheesemaker. That was his profession.
What sort of cheese?
Goat's cheese, presumably.
Would it be, by definition, goat's cheese, no matter what milk he used?
He doesn't make it with his own milk, because he's a goat boy.
Oh, thank God.
As a USP... goat's milk with my own milk. It doesn't sound saleable.
Male or female?
No.
No.
So he makes cheese, and I think the children provide him with milk, like cow,
no,
like, not cow's milk.
No, you can't milk children.
No, from the cows, because Surbiton was just a piece of farmland, really. So maybe that's where the cows come from. I think maybe the Seething Society of law men was maybe set up by cheesemakers. I think that might be the thing. Or cheese eaters. I think cheese eaters. I think.
Right.
I think this whole story came about from a mixture of cheese and wine.
You're using the phrase cheese eater the way people in the early 20th century used to talk about opium eaters, people who dreamt crazy dreams.
Or how Americans talk about the French.
Yes. Well, cheese dreams are a known phenomenon, aren't they? So.
Are they? Wasn't it one of the ones that turned out to be a lie because of the war?
Cheese dreams, really?
Yeah, they didn't want people to eat cheese at night.
That's hilarious.
Because it alerted the bombers to your location.
The Nazis could smell it.
I'm a vegan, so my dreams are untroubled by the guilt of cheese.
Yes, this goat boy with his range of cheeses.
Leffie Ganderson is the name of the goat boy.
That's a good name.
It's a really good name. And it's because the kids used to call him Lefty, and it sort of got shortened over the centuries to Leffie. So there's an island in the Thames nearby called Thamesditton Isle, or Thamesditton Island.
I've been to Thamesditton.
Thamesditton Island, according to this folklore, is the dead corpse of a giant. It's like a how things got their name type of folklore, because the giant was called Thamesditton. And so it's now become Thamesditton Isle. So this giant said to the goat boy, he was like, I'm going to starve you. Oh no, hang on, how did it go? I can't remember. So the goat boy says, you must leave this town. And the giant says, no. And then the goat boy says, if I survive the whole year on just food that passes through this small gold ring that he has, then you must leave. And the giant says, oh, easy, you'll die. And so the goat boy just pours all the milk for his cheese through the ring.
Ooh.
And so he tricks the giant.
That's very clever.
Yeah. And he shares it with everyone. He shares it with the giant as well, even.
He probably has spaghetti as well.
Oh, yeah, and spaghetti.
And that pepperamis and...
noodles, as long as they come on a noodle-by-noodle basis.
Celery.
He was smarter than us to use a liquid rather than to think of which long, thin solids could I eat.
Long cheese.
Cheese strings.
He invented the cheese string, this goat boy. Leffie Ganderson. I keep giving it a sort of...
Is that the Surbiton accent you're doing there? Leffie Ganderson. It's got a real sort of Scandi-noir feel to it. Leffie Ganderson.
Yeah, it has, yeah. The whole town has, if you look beyond the train station. It's a very, very noir place.
So I have just a couple more questions about the goat boy.
Oh, yeah, please do. Please go for it.
Mm.
What does he look like?
He's based on a a tiny little, it's quite interesting actually, because they did like a proper archaeological dig, like with, they didn't like plant anything, or, you know, it was like a genuine dig, and they found this like little figure of a, and it had like a goat's head, or what looked like a goat's head.
Oh.
So that's where the sort of mythology comes from, is this sort of little tiny bit of metal that looked a bit like a goat. So yeah, he sort of got long black horns that sort of curl behind his head, and a little boy's body.
So, oh, right, little boy's body, goat's face.
I was going the other way round.
A goat's body, but with the face of a boy. Is that what you visualised?
Well, actually, no, I was goat's lower legs. But yeah, I even more, now I'm thinking of that. I'm definitely thinking of that.
Oh, yeah, he's not a satyr, I don't think.
He's not a pan-like, legs-bending-backwards type.
Mr. Tumnus, come on, just say Mr. Tumnus.
He's a bit Mr. Tumnus-y, yeah, but I don't think he's got goat legs.
He's Mr. Tumnesque.
He's Mr. Tumnish, but he's not...
Thinking about it, he would need opposable thumbs if he's doing cheese production to any sort of level that he could distribute it.
And if he can wear a ring... He has our fingers, so...
That's true.
He definitely has... He has, like, a human body, I think.
Does he know the Laughing Cow? Probably. They probably met at a convention.
But the Laughing Cow is just a cow.
With a sense of humour.
But she has a human laugh.
She's got... GSOH.
I think it's one of the most sort of unintentionally Lovecraftian creations, the Laughing Cow. I just feel, I wish the advertising executives who created it had just taken a moment to realise the horror they'd unleashed on the world. As a cow laughs open-mouthed like a human. It's terrifying.
Especially when you really, really think about where milk comes from.
What?
And she's just laughing.
What's the joke? What is the cow laughing at?
I don't know.
I think if, like, in the adverts where she laughs, if they hadn't cut it so early, it's one of them laughs that turns into a crying.
Oh, my God. She's probably just, like, laughing at, like, oh, you guys drink other animals' milk.
That's weird. It's a nervous laugh.
The Laughing Cow has been around since 1921, so there is every likelihood that
she's dead.
Wow.
I tried to find out some folklore about the Kingston area and couldn't.
It's bare.
The only thing I came up with was Kingston Leal or Kingston Lyle in Oxfordshire/Berkshire.
It's the wrong one.
It's the wrong Kingston, where they have the blowing stone. Have you heard about the blowing stone, James?
That rings a bell.
No, it doesn't. It makes a completely different sound. You blow into the hole and it makes a booming horn sound.
Ooh.
If you blow into the right hole.
Hey. That's what she said.
Well, Kingston upon Thames has a stone as well, like a historic stone. Mm. It's not a blowing stone, but it's allegedly where the old kings of yore got crowned.
I think I've seen that stone.
So it's like a crowning stone, and it's sort of right next to this little river called the Hogsmill River. And the Hogsmill River is, I think, like a little tributary to the Thames.
Has to be.
I think there's a little bit of folklore about. Oh, yeah, I know. The Hogsmill was the background for that really famous painting of Ophelia by Millais, John Everett Millais. So, you know, that picture like of a lady lying in the river, and she's got flowers all around her.
Yeah, with her hands up.
Like she's doing air quotes, but she's died mid-air quote.
So that's cool.
That is cool.
We've got a few artists, actually. There's an artist called Edward Muybridge who... was a bit of a strange guy. He had
photographer the early film photographer.
Yeah, photographer. He was born and died in Kingston, and he also killed a man.
Did he?
Yep.
Really?
I think he wasn't in Kingston at the time. I think this happened in America.
Oh, it's not important then. Mm. If it was outside of the borough.
What happens in Kingston stays in Kingston.
But what happens outside of Kingston is a very serious matter.
So his wife had an affair, and he killed the guy that she had an affair with, and he was let off because it was a crime of passion.
Oh,
yeah. So he got off scot-free.
A crime of passion is a weird defence because it's essentially like saying, but I wanted to.
Exactly.
Killing that person was really important to me.
Edward Muybridge, he did the photographs that you've all seen of the first image of horses running and people running, where he set up a series of cameras and set them off one, poof, 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 one at a time to create the apparent moving image.
And one of them was a gun.
It was the perfect cover for murder, but luckily Poirot has just arrived in Surbiton.
A group of photographers was obsessed with whether all four of a horse's hooves leave the ground at the same time when the horse is galloping.
Because they just didn't have a lot on back then, did they?
Because you couldn't see it. It was too quick. And so Edward became like the guy that proved that, yes, all four of the horse's hooves do leave the ground at the same time.
Mm, nice one, Edward.
So, yeah, pretty cool. Until all the murdering.
Right up until the murder, he was a top bloke.
I was trying to find anything more interesting about Seething Wells.
Is that a name that's been made up by the wacky folklorists of Surbiton?
No,
or is it really
not,
called
it's
Seething?
It's really called
Seething. It's called Seething Wells.
Seething Wells, yeah. It's a great name, isn't it?
You used the phrase to me when we were talking about this in Message, and I assumed you were just referring to the state of mind. I genuinely thought you meant that people of Surbiton were in a state of seething. Yes, I thought you meant there was a lot of anger bubbling underneath the surface.
Well, I don't know who or why called it Seething Wells, but me and my there's a bus that goes to Seething Wells, and it would say it on the bus. And whenever the bus went past, me and my friends would, when it were in school, would be like, "Oh, my wells are seething." that was a laugh.
I'd like a good bus gag. I've got two in my repertoire.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm.
There was the 2-2-2. Tooting, which was one of my favourites.
I like that.
And I'd get the bus. I used to live in Brixton. If I got the bus down to the station, one of the stops was called St Matthew's Estate. And I always thought, I'll leave him alone then.
I used to live near St Vincent's Close. You're like, oh, watch out. I once saw a man with very, very, very backcombed hair. Like, you know, sort of Trumpian level backcombing. The lift on it was incredible. He was getting 2.5 inches, 4 or 5 centimetres worth of mm-hmm. Pure air in his hair. And I saw him get on a train to High Barnet.
Oh, no.
Very good.
It's incredible. Genuinely sorry.
I believe you.
That's. Yeah.
I've just thought of another sort of interesting thing that we used to look out of the window of our school and marvel at, as well as the Seething Wells bus. There was a lady who used to go past, I think every day, an old lady would go past really fast on a scooter, like not like a engine scooter, like a human powered scooter.
Oh, and under her own steam.
Under her own steam, and she was very fast. And so we
really?
Used to look out and say, "Oh, it's Scooter Granny! It's Scooter Granny!"
we had the world's oldest paper boy. So it was like this 70-odd-year-old man who had a paper round would cut across our field, our school field.
Wow, I can't believe that's not a TV show, World's Oldest Paperboy.
I'm sure Channel 5
or a reality TV show, but no, you can't really compete to be the world's oldest paperboy, I guess.
Yeah, by murdering all the other ones.
Yeah, I guess that's how it works. I guess you're in a Mybridge situation where committing crimes passionnel.
I really wanted to be the world's oldest paper boy. Well, let him off then. No judge or convict.
Has that concluded the coverage of Surbiton's folklore?
I think Chessington is another town nearby. I think that's where the cheese making is supposed to have taken place. So it went from Cheesington to Chessington. Weirdly enough, like Surbiton is weirdly absent from its own folklore.
In an effort to sort of deflect from people thinking this place is boring, they've made up a mythology that's mostly based around cheese.
Exactly. Yeah. But it's really great. And every year, I think, they have the Seething Sardine Festival.
Exciting.
Which is based on a mythology about freshwater sardine fishing that used to happen in the days of yore. To celebrate that tradition, people dress up as guinea pigs. So we should go. next time. It really is really fun, and there's like statues of Leffy, you know, temporary statues like papier-mâché statues. Guinea pigs. I can't remember why.
I got a feeling we're being lured somewhere, Alistair. I think we're going to get Wicker Man.
The pictures have a bit of a feeling of the sort of the creepy sex party in The Shining where everyone's wearing costumes. It's got that vibe slightly.
Yes, but it all happens in daylight. There's live music. And it's just a really nice bit of fun for the residents of a very boring place.
It's a trap.
It's a trap, yeah.
I think it's time for the scores. What do you think, James?
Yeah, hit me.
Are you ready, Harriet?
Yeah.
With scores.
Okay. What's your first category?
Names.
Okay.
James, what do you think?
There's some names. There are definitely some names.
Some really good ones.
There are some excellent names. The Goat Boy, Leffy Ganderson.
Goat Boy's good, but as we established, it's not quite descriptive enough. Should be Goat-Headed Boy. We all got the same picture.
I'm sorry you're uncomfortable with ambiguity, James, but it's still a good name.
Seething Wells, that's very descriptive.
Mm. Seething Wells is good. I like the concept of angry liquids, definitely.
Tomas Deaton, the giant.
Angus Deaton's, yeah. But you, the place was called Kingston-upon-Railway. That's a brilliant name. And it was rejected in favour of Surbiton.
I know.
You know, the Thames has two names. You know, it's called, up your way, it's called the Isis.
Yes. The Thames Isis, Thamesis.
Yeah, and on old maps, it's one long word.
Yes.
So it's Thamesis.
Thamesis.
And somehow the front end belongs to London, the back end, Oxfordshire.
The Thamesis, when I was a kid, that was the best ride at Orton Towers. Or as my friend thought it was called for ages, Alton's Tower. And I'm so annoyed that I corrected him when I just taken an extra second and he could still think it was called Alton's Tower. And I absolutely love that name. So much more magical.
So we've got some cracking names. We've got Goat Boy, we've got Kingston on Railway, we've got
Surbiton,
we've got Alton's Tower.
Alton's Tower.
Norbiton.
Norbiton, yeah,
Kingston.
Exactly. New Malden.
Old Malden. Old Malden Classic.
Wonderful South Western Railway service stations.
No, boring place names. Two.
Oh.
Two?
Leffy Ganderson is so disappointed.
Leffy Ganderson, he's named after a beer. And you're only getting two for Seething Wells. That's all I'm counting
all
as
right.
a good name.
Well, Seething Wells is really good. I can't
oh, my wells
that.
Are seething now, James.
All right. It's a very cruel and merciless two for names.
Right.
I really think that's unfair, but those are the rules. So what is the second category, Harriet?
Supernatural, apparently.
Oh.
Supernatural, James. Come on, you've got to hand it to Surbiton.
For what?
A giant who was tricked.
A goat boy.
With a ring. A boy with the head
cheese,
of a goat.
A cheesemonger with a beard. A short cheesemonger with a beard.
And horns.
Well, yeah, maybe.
No, a goat boy is supernatural. You have to accept that that's not normal.
A goat-headed boy.
A goat-headed boy.
That's pretty spooky.
All right.
Oh, and Edward Muybridge,
yep.
The murderer. That's pretty spooky.
Muybridge.
And Harry Potter. That's really spooky.
Yeah, and Harry Potter.
He's very supernatural.
He's got lots going on. Lots. Mm-hmm. Ley lines.
Ley lines.
They all come together at the back of a pub called The Lamb.
Everyone says that about ley lines.
So they come together at the back of the pub called The Lamb.
They all cross over each other in the beer garden.
Converging left, right and centre.
Pretty supernatural, James.
Three.
Is that a pity three?
Yeah. That's a pity three.
Okay. Scooter Granny. She's pretty supernatural.
She does sound pretty cool. I like Scooter Granny.
She's pretty cool.
You're making this very hard work,
yep.
James. But I'm sure we can pull it back with the next category. Mm. What is the next category, by the way, Harriet?
The next category is boring.
Boring.
Oh, that's 5 out of 5.
5 out of 5?
All the way. Yeah.
Oh, these are out of 5?
Yes.
Yeah, they're out of 5.
Okay. I was worried they were out of 10 and I was getting really down. But that's okay. No, Surbiton can live with 2 and 3 out of 5.
It's very much in its wheelhouse.
Yeah, exactly.
And what better argument for Surbiton's ready acceptance of mediocrity than Harriet's delight at receiving a 2 and a 3 out of 5?
Is
5 out of 5 for boring?
Yeah, always. Yeah, definitely for Surbiton.
Yeah, excellent.
I'm sorry to sort of
yes.
throw coal on the... on the fire of Surbiton's boring.
All I can say is you need to come and visit yourself on the day of the festival.
Yeah, this is definitely
a trap. The Seething Sardine Festival, definitely. And then you'll see.
But I think we'd get put in like a wicker goat boy.
Look, there's no wicker.
You say there's no wicker, but I've seen The Good Life and there's a lot of wicker around. Just the raw material is there in excess.
Oh, damn it.
What's the final category? The
final category is... train stations.
Train stations or train station?
You're not an experienced player of this game, Harriet. I have to warn you, a plural can cost you a lot of points in this section.
Train station.
Train station, okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we've got a movie star train station. It appeared in Harry Potter.
Yeah, movie star train station.
And Granada Television's Poirot.
Potter. Poirot.
Yeah.
With David Suchet.
Yeah, I love it.
It's stunning.
I didn't know that it was famously beautiful, and I went there and I saw it and I thought... Oh, that's a really good looking train station.
Thank you.
That's how good it was. It's one of them egotistical things. I later heard it was like regularly voted Britain's best railway station. And I thought, yeah, I was right.
Yes.
My taste in railway stations is in line with the nation as a whole.
That must have been a relief.
Mm, exactly.
I walked through that train station every day to get to school.
Really?
You walked through the train station?
Yeah, there's like a walkway through it. A lot of train stations have them, you know, like a fully enclosed...
Well, like an airborne tunnel.
Yes.
Like a tunnel of the skies.
Like an airborne tunnel.
It's
a tunnel in the skies, guys.
This is definitely 5 out of 5 then.
Oh.
This station sounds like the best. Sounds like a Mario level.
Excellent. That's pretty good.
Mm.
Yeah, but Harriet, it started off really shaky.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I mean, I hope the guy, my friend who writes the law of Surbiton, who wrote the story of Leffie Ganderson, isn't listening to this.
Oh God, no.
Because the station and the boring got the got the big scores.
I really slag it off.
And the folklore got the lower ones. But yeah. Happy with that.
The slogan of Surbiton.
Yeah.
Happy with that.
Discover yourself.
Discover yourself.
In our airborne tunnel. Thank you for coming on the podcast, Harriet. Is there anything you would like to plug? Because I know you do podcasts left, right and centre. And I believe they're not being destroyed by the plague.
Oh, well, kind of. I do a few podcasts here and there. The main one that exists in broadcasted form is the Design Spark podcast. And we're just about to record the third series of that, to be released in a month or so. So, but there are two series that you can enjoy already.
It's you and a couple of other people on that podcast, isn't it?
Yeah, it's me, Beck Hill, who is amazing, and Dr. Lucy Rogers, who is also amazing. She was a judge on the new, like the rebooted Robot Wars. And she's extremely intimidatingly intelligent when it comes to like mechanical stuff. And so it's the three of us sort of chatting about technology, which I never thought would happen to me, like, because I'm, well, to be fair, I am like the technophobe person in the podcast that has to be like persuaded that everything is good, not evil. But, yeah.
That's got to be different from a judge of a robot war.
Yeah.
Is this like the sort of the Nuremberg trials of the robot after the robot war?
Oh my God.
Where Matilda was disassembled for treason.
It's like, I didn't do anything. It's like, your name is Sir Kill-A-Lot. It's in the name.
Sergeant Basham, who was dishonourably discharged, summarily recharged.
And now they all just work in like a Wix.
He's a Roomba.
He's a Roomba.
Well, that was Lawmen with me, Alistair Beckett King.
Me, James Shakeshaft.
And our guest, Deputy Lawperson Harriet Brain. If you've enjoyed this episode of Lawmen, produced under very trying circumstances, the least you can do is to give us a like, a subscribe, follow us on the Twitter, on the Instagram, or recommend us to a friend.
And thank you to all the lovely people who have messaged us. I've really enjoyed your stuff. You guys are funny.
Yeah, just got on Twitter and told us to stop recording the podcast. And
oh, not my mum.
Well, I think you were very harsh there, James.
Really? It's boring.
Yes.
I've been to Surbiton. It's boring.
So there's no argument here, but I think those names were good. I just want you to know, one of these days you're going to be tearing down the barrel of a 2 out of 5 for names, quite undeservedly. You won't know when it's coming. Could be any time, day or night, but probably during the podcast.